All right, I think we're good. Can y'all hear me all right? Good. There was a bunch of cows that were in a pen. And it was a pretty small pen, and these are big cows. And the cows, you could see, were kind of just looking around, and there's freedom beyond the fence. And another part that was connected to this little pen where the cows were at was quite a bit of a larger fenced-in area, like a pasture. And the cows saw the farmer come up to the gate, and the cows all started to come over towards the gate. Cows are actually pretty cool animals. A lot of people think, yeah, cows are great between two buns with some lettuce and pickles and mayo. I love cows. But cows are actually really pretty cool animals. And so the cows come over by the gate where this farmer is, and he's about to let them out into this big open pasture. And he opens the gate, and there's probably 10 cows or so. And what happens next is something that probably not many of you have ever seen before, but these cows sprint out of this gate, and these are some of the happiest cows I've ever seen because they are jumping and just being a little bit silly. And you never see cows. Cows, usually they walk up and they look at you and they're like, got more grass to eat, and they just keep on eating grass, and there's really not a lot of emotion with cows. But these cows, they kind of just, they're bucking and running around and just kind of throwing their head around. And it looked like a little bunch of puppies running around just being crazy. Only these were like 1,800-pound cows. And all of them were doing this. They were just running all over this pasture. And the freedom that they were experiencing in this much bigger enclosure was just, you could just see pure joy on these cows as they just, the best way they could experience what they were feeling, they were just running and being crazy, which you never see cows do. And it was one of the neatest things to see as these cows got their freedom and were out in this big open pasture. Often you might see stories in the news where there's some circus that's coming through town and somebody's protesting or something happens and they free some of these circus animals. There was just a story in the news in Lima, Peru. There was a circus that didn't treat their animals all that great, and they were able to rescue this mountain lion that had been in captivity for 20 years in a very small cage. And it had never been outside of this little 8-9 foot cage in 20 years. And they took this mountain lion and they put it in a big, they opened the gate to this big enclosure because it was going to stay at some reserve for the rest of its life. And this mountain lion walked out of the cage and kind of just looked around, and it stretched, big old stretch. And the people that were writing the article were like, this is probably the first time this mountain lion has ever gotten to stretch naturally like this and just stretch all the way out, stretch its muscles, and walk around. And they said it was just one of the neatest things to see this mountain lion experience the freedom from bondage, from this cage that it had lived 20 years in. People just coming by just to see this mountain lion. There was another story about these chimpanzees that they use to test things in laboratories, which is really sad. It always breaks my heart to hear about that stuff. And they had taken these chimpanzees, and they'd been in cages again their whole life. And they took these chimpanzees in the cages out to a preserve where they were going to let them loose, and they had this big enclosure. And these chimpanzees had never felt grass before. And they let them out in this enclosure that was full of grass, and there were trees they could climb, a really nice enclosure. And they let these chimpanzees, like 8 or 9 of them, and these chimpanzees come out on the grass, and you can see them kind of feel the grass, and they're like, you know, like a cat in water or something. They're like, ugh. Or like a cat with shoes on. Have you seen people put cat shoes on their cats, and the cats or the dogs just go nuts? This is what these chimpanzees were doing. They were just like, they didn't know what to do. And then you see one chimpanzee, he just kind of, he lays down and rolls in the grass and comes up and is like, well, that was pretty nice. I'm going to do that again. And he rolls in the grass again. And these things are just experiencing freedom for the first time. And it's just a beautiful thing to see something that's been chained up be released and set free. There's a story in the Bible that I always enjoy reading this story. It's an inspiring story. It's in the book of Acts, and it's in Acts chapter 16. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16, and we're going to start in verse 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. There's all kinds of cool stuff in this story. It says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.'" Now, every time I've read that verse, I've always thought, well, that's a pretty good message, isn't it? Isn't that the same thing they're saying? What's the big deal here? Why are they so annoyed with this? But it must have been said in a different way, probably a mocking way, because it's driving these guys nuts. And it's obviously at odds with the message that they're trying to preach, right? And we know who's in control of this girl as well. Let's keep on going. And verse 18, "And she did for this for many days." So picture in your mind, Paul and Silas are out preaching, telling people about Jesus, a good message, teaching people about forgiveness, teaching people about salvation. And as they're going trying to preach, this girl is following them and heckling them. Have you ever met a heckler before? They're pretty annoying. If you've ever been to a baseball game and you've listened to some of the people heckling the baseball players, you just want to say, "Man, you are being so rude. Shut your mouth." Nobody should talk to anybody like that, and just heckling them. And it's really, really annoying. And sometimes you see the baseball players kind of get fed up with it and turn around and tell them what they think of them, and then there's this back and forth, and it's really just a terrible thing. And so Paul and Silas are going, trying to do something good, and here, this servant girl who's possessed by the devil is following them around. Now, I always wonder, why did Paul wait several days to deal with this? He must have been a very patient man, because here she is just kind of heckling them, interrupting their preaching and mocking what they're saying. And finally, Paul says in verse 18, he says, "But Paul, greatly annoyed." We don't see descriptions of emotion like this very often with people in the Bible. Usually it's the straight story and then the end of the story. But here Paul, who used to be Saul, Paul, it says, was not just a little bit annoyed. He wasn't just bothered a little bit with it. He was pretty ticked off at this point. It says he was greatly annoyed. Finally, he turns and says, not to the girl, but to the spirit. He turns and he says, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And out comes the spirit of this girl. Now, the first thing that I want us to acknowledge in this story is that there's a good and a bad. That the great controversy between good and evil is very real. Not often do we come into interaction with somebody like this girl. A lot of times we see, maybe there might be a preview for a TV show where there's somebody who's possessed by something, or a movie. I've seen some previews for some horrible movies where weird stuff is going on. We don't see much of that stuff in America. And so a lot of times we're like, well, yeah, those are great stories and God wins. But a lot of that happens in the world still today in other countries. I've seen it happen in other countries where the devil is very much at work to control people's lives. And we see that same story happening here. Because we don't see it very often in America today does not mean that God is still not doing that stuff. And so people are still struggling. I've worked with people here in America who do struggle with that stuff. And the devil still is trying to mess with people today. There's a vein of Christianity that is pretty much saying, well, and this is the term they use, we're messianic. We just want to focus on Jesus, and we're not going to worry about the dark stuff in the world. We're not going to worry about that stuff at all. We're just going to focus only on the good stuff. And I think there's quite a bit of naivety with that, because you're not looking at the whole spectrum. You're only looking at one piece and not acknowledging that there is somebody that is working for your demise. There is a Satan, a devil that the Bible talks about, that is trying to trip us up all the time. And if we just pretend that he's not there, that doesn't mean that he's not there. And here, Paul very openly deals with this. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, hit the road. And this evil spirit has to leave. Imagine how awesome that was for that girl. This girl has been used to make money for these other people. Somehow, the devil got involved here. And this poor young girl has been used as a business for these men. Verse 19, but when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful to us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. When they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, and commanding their jailer to keep them securely, they were put in the dungeon. Having received the charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. You see, it's kind of interesting in this story, as one person's chains are broken, this girl, she has been set free from the control of Satan. She is a free person, and that is a beautiful part of the story. As one person's chains are set free, these guys are now put in chains in the dungeon. And it wasn't the outer minimum security prison that they were put in. These guys were put in the maximum security prison, and their feet were put in stocks. Anybody been to Jamestown, Virginia, or some of those places? And you see the old stocks that they used to put people in that broke the law? They've got the ones where you've got your hands and you stick your head through and you got to be like this for a little while. Does not look very comfortable. And then they've got the feet one where you sit down and they put your feet in the stocks. And you can either lay down or you can sit up, whatever it is, but your feet are not going anywhere. Does not look like a great time. Now, imagine that you're in the feet ones and that you've been beaten with your clothes off with rods. Anybody remember the kid in Singapore who went and messed up all those cars? He's an American, and he got caned as a punishment, and everybody lost their minds in America. Oh, you can't do that to this poor boy who'd gone through and wrecked like $400,000 worth of cars and all that stuff. I imagine that the caning experience was not a really fun one for him. And I've read a little bit about what that all entails. There's bruises and bleeding and all kinds of horrible things, but don't break the law. That's the lesson he learned. But these guys, they get the same exact things, beating with rods, as criminals. Can you imagine how embarrassing that would be, first of all, to be set in the middle of a crowd, the same people you've been preaching to, and you get tied up, and people come with rods, and baseball bats swing these rods on your back? That's a bad day. And as they've just, through the power of Jesus' name, unshackled this lady and set her free, they are put in shackles themselves, in foot shackles, no less, so they can't lay down because their backs probably are bleeding. They've got to sit up with their feet in shackles in the inner prison. That's a tough day. If that were you, what would your thoughts be as you sat in that prison, bleeding down your back, feet shackled, in jail? I think it'd be a traumatic enough experience just to be put in jail. I've gone to visit people in jail, but I've never actually been an inmate. I've never been the one behind bars. It's got to be a horrible experience. And for what did they get thrown in jail for? For doing good. That had to hurt a little bit too, huh? And there must have been a little bit of temptation from the devil to say, look what you get for doing good. Just quit this stuff. No need to keep preaching like this. Look where it's getting you. You just got beat and thrown in jail. Look how uncomfortable you are. That temptation had to have been there. I've sat myself in this and thought, all right, well, what would I do if I were them? And the temptation would be, just give this mess up. Look what it got you. It's not easy being chained up, being restricted and held back by something. But yet, so many of us, in some way, shape, or form in our own lives, are chained up in some way. Whether it's some sort of an addiction, something we can't let go of, something we can't forgive, something that was done to us maybe when we were younger. And we sometimes chain ourselves up and don't experience the freedom that we can have in Jesus and letting God take some of those burdens from us. Life throws a whole bunch of different things at us. If we were to all collectively sit down and journal for the rest of today of the things that have gone on in our lives that have been tough, we could probably write a 500-page book. What does God do with chains? Verse 25, it says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." There's not a whole lot of sleep that's going to happen after you just got beat with rods and your feet are in the shackles. You can't lay down. And so what do these guys do in the middle of their biggest trial? These guys are praying and singing. Whenever I read this story, I always think to myself, how? How did they have it inside of them to start singing in the middle of the situation that they're in? I mean, if they were next to each other and they're just looking at each other, there had to be some talking, encouragement. There's two of them together. That's a good thing. They can encourage each other. You wonder which one started singing first. Maybe they started a hum. I must have been praying out loud. People were listening. What do you think they were praying for? Do you think maybe they were praying for the people that beat them? Do you think maybe they were spending special time praying for the young girl whose chains were just broken and who was now free? I bet you they were. And they're singing. I don't know, and maybe this is just confession time, I don't know that I've ever been really, really ripped up myself and thought, man, I feel like breaking into song. Let's sing some harmonies while we cry. You know, it's a tough thing. But I admire this story more than just about any other story in the Bible because of their perspective of Jesus in this whole thing. Because there is nothing that they can go through or endure that is going to make them stop praising Jesus. They're shackled, they're beaten, they're bleeding, they're locked up, and they're still happy in Jesus. And that always blows my mind. Because so often when we are beaten, shackled, and bleeding in our own lives, in whatever situation it is, it's easy for us, instead of to sing to Jesus, to blame Jesus. Say, God, why are you putting me through this? Why are you allowing me to go through this? And that's not the message that Paul and Silas preach in here. Isn't that amazing? They're building Jesus up to all the people around them instead of blaming Jesus. Let's keep going. So they're singing and praying, and it says the other prisoners were listening to them. Do you ever think that when you're going through tough times, people are watching you? A lot of times when we're going through tough times, we don't care if people are watching us. Don't care, because we're so wrapped up in what's going on and the hurt. But yet, these people were listening to Paul and Silas. And this must have just been a little bit wild for them. If they've already been in jail, they've done maybe some time, some guys maybe have been there a while. Nobody's acted like this. Not a single prisoner. Nobody has acted like these two guys. Nobody's sung in prison. Have you ever heard of a prison choir? Me neither. They don't exist. Verse 26. Remember, these guys are shackled with literal chains. Suddenly, verse 26, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Who did this? God. Because God is a chain breaker. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. That's a rough way to go, by the way. Whew. This guy had to be at the end of his rope thinking, man, what they're going to do to me is worse. He's about to fall on his own sword. But Paul calls out with a loud voice. He doesn't whisper. He yells, hey, don't do that. He stops the guy. He says, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Do you think this guy was there and supervised the putting of these guys in prison? I think probably so. He probably oversaw their incarceration. Don't hurt yourself, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. I always wondered about this story. Because if you didn't know Jesus and you didn't know this whole situation and your gate came open right away, where would you go? Do you think maybe Paul and Silas had a heads up that this earthquake was coming? It doesn't say that in the Bible, but I look at this and I think, how else could they have gotten all these criminals to stay in jail? Hey guys, you're about to be set free. What? Just don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Wait, what? How? I don't know. I don't know how else they could have gotten all these prisoners to stay in there when their gates are open. Maybe they were shackled in there. I don't know. But the Bible says all the chains were loose, so they had to have been set free. But somehow Paul and Silas are in charge because he comes to Paul and Silas's cell. Somehow everybody got the memo, stay put. Which is totally not natural. And he comes in verse 30. And he's brought them out and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Somehow, this guy must have gotten word of some of the messages that they had been preaching about salvation. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. Now, sometimes there's some differing ideas on how people are saved based on this verse. And some people say, well, look, he said if this guy believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll save his whole family. Let's keep on reading. And he took them the same hour, back up to verse 32, and he spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. So he does Bible study with everybody in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were all baptized together. Verse 34, now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with his whole household. Everybody in the whole household believed. And picture this all happening at about 12:45 in the morning. This guy's waking his whole family up. This guy just saved my life. I was about to fall on my sword. He was going to kill himself without seeing his family again. Can you picture this? There's so much going on in this story. It's a little bit mind-blowing to see. But we have in this story somebody whose chains are loosed. The other people are enchained. And then those chains are loosed as well. There seems to be a pattern of God breaking chains. There seems to also be a pattern of the devil enslaving and chaining people up. And you see, when you're chained or enslaved, you have no freedom. It wasn't until this girl came across these two people that introduced her to Jesus that she was freed from this evil spirit. Now, we might say, well, Pastor Jamie, you don't know the chains I'm dealing with. You don't know the chains that my family member might be dealing with. Some chains that we deal with here on earth are tough. Forgiveness sometimes. Substances sometimes. Relationships sometimes. Jobs sometimes. Some of the things we deal with are awfully tough. And sometimes we have a hard time escaping them or letting them go even. There's a new song, as I close here, there's a new song that has just come out. I was just out visiting Jason and Caitlin Dunkel. Some of you might remember them. They used to come here. They're in Florida now. And as Jason and I were driving down the road, he turned on this song, and he says, "Man, listen to the words of this song. The song is really a neat song, and it's kind of a bluesy kind of song, I guess. So there's a little bit of a twang to it." And the words of the chorus go like this, and he talks about some of the different things that we struggle with in life, but the chorus is what I really want to highlight here. The chorus says this: "If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior." Isn't that cool? "If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker." Let me read that one more time. It's just so cool the way he words this whole thing. And it's got references to this story in Acts chapter 6. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. Sometimes we give too much credit to the chains that hold us down and think, "Man, I don't know any way out of this." But I love the words to this song. He's a prison-shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. It's one of my favorite songs right now. But in looking at how big maybe some of our chains are that hold us down, maybe we don't give enough credit to the chain breaker. Because just like this girl who was possessed of a spirit that was following Paul and Silas around, this girl was chained until she met the chain breaker. She met Jesus, and Jesus broke those chains and set her free. Who knows what the chains are that we deal with? Only you and God know those, some of those things. Some of the things you struggle with. But your Jesus is a chain breaker. Whatever you struggle with in life, Jesus is stronger than that. Whatever your struggle is, Jesus is bigger than that. Whatever it is that kind of keeps holding you down a little bit, you serve a God who says he lifts us up on wings like eagles to soar. Maybe if you get a chance, it's a little bit of a lively song, but it's a cool song. Check it out on iTunes. It's by a guy named Zach Williams, and the song is called Chainbreaker. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you've got something holding you down in life, ask Jesus to break those chains and to set you free. There is nothing better than being set free. Just ask those cows that got set free from the arena into the bigger, wide-open area. Just ask those chimpanzees that were used in those labs and were set free in that big open enclosure, feeling grass for the first time, climbing a tree for the first time. There is a beauty in being set free. And Jesus is in the business of setting people free. Jesus is a chain breaker. We're going to sing a closing song. And our closing song is called Victory in Jesus. And this young girl in Acts 16 experienced victory in Jesus. This jailer experienced victory in Jesus. and each one of us as well can experience victory in Jesus. Let's stand together and sing our closing song before we head over to lunch. A couple things before we close with prayer. First of all, a big thank you to Richard and Karen for coming up here and getting everything all set up. They brought a printer even to print off stuff and have set all this stuff up. So a big thank you to both of you. Also, we have one thing I forgot in our announcement, and that is a transfer for Jonathan and Liebna Arroyo to Florida. Do we have a motion that transfer go through? This is there a second? I see a second. All in favor, say aye. All right, and our business is done for today. I'm glad everybody came out. We're going to be having lunch over in the cafeteria just after this. Also, we're going to be having a hike up Devil's Head, which is just down the road. We'll go up and bless it, since it's called Devil's Head. What a horrible name for a mountain, right? We'll go up there and hold hands and pray and bless the mountain or something. I don't know. But let's see here. It is 12:20. Anybody have any suggestions for when we take off and leave for the hike? 2:30? 2? Let's go 2. So we have to drive. You come out to the main to Rampart Range Road again and hang a left. And so we'll just caravan a bunch of cars out there and head up to the parking lot. It's a really beautiful hike. There's a watchtower up there, and it's a really, really neat area. So if you can, we'd love to have you come on the hike as well, and we'll meet at the cafeteria at 2 o'clock. Let's close with prayer, and we'll also bless our food that we're about to eat. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for the chance we get to come up here and worship you. Lord, we're so glad that you are a chain breaker, that you're a prison shaker. And Lord, whatever it is that we deal with in our own lives, our own struggles, our own chains, Father, help us not to underestimate your power to shake those chains and to shake our prisons that we're in sometimes. Father, help us to give you more credit than we do for being able to help us become free. Help us to trust you, Lord, as we go through this freedom process, and to always remember that you are the chain breaker, Father. Thank you for always being there with us and always rooting for us, God, and always being right by our side, ready to help us day and night. Bless the food that we're about to have, and bless the conversation and company that we have. Thank you so much, God, that we can be up here in the mountains worshiping you today. Bless the rest of our time here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.